Welcome to Bloviation. In this very exciting episode, what is the greatest risk to Christianity? Is it affluence or is it answers in Genesis?
Here we go.
Again, to Bloviation. One of the biggest threats to Christianity right now is affluence. Many people have so much in the way of material wealth that the material wealth is literally got a stranglehold on their spiritual life. Three things that I believe affluence robs us of.
Okay.
The first one is it robs us of our dependence on God. Right now, most Americans, and I know there's some people going through hard economic times, but there's a lot of affluence. And people who are affluent typically don't need anything other than their affluence. So I believe, number one, affluence robs us of our dependence on God. Okay. Number two, it robs us of our desire for the things of God. It's the same point in a way as the last one, but if we have money, we don't need God. But Matthew 22:37 says this, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." That's the greatest commandment according to Jesus.
Right.
The question really is, are we loving the Lord with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our strength, or are we loving our wealth?
The love of money is the root of all evil.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. The love of money is the root of all evil. So I think affluence sometimes robs us of our desire. And the third thing I found is it robs our devotion for God.
Right. How's that work?
So how that works is that if I wasn't always thinking about my money, checking my stocks, going to work, paying all this attention to the things, the material things that I have, I may have more time just to take some quiet contemplation and just think about God more. Now, I'm not saying you would always do that if you were poor, but I think these are three things. And, you know, one thing that I thought we'd mention real fast
Can't anyone be poor, though? I mean, you can choose poverty, right?
Yeah, anyone can. It's sort of hard to do, though. Do you know? I don't know many people who've voluntarily taken a vow and given up all their earthly goods. Mark 10:22. There's a story that a lot of us know, and that's young man comes up to Jesus and he says, "Good teacher, tell me how I can find eternal life." Jesus says, "Sell all your possessions, give them to the poor, and then come and follow me." And as the man walked away, Jesus said this in Mark 10:23, "How hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God?"
Yeah.
And I think that may be making the same point. So the question is, did Jesus really mean what he said here? Or do we take what he said and just come up with some basic principles for living? Like, well, what he's really saying is don't put too much emphasis on wealth. Or it's okay to have wealth as long as wealth doesn't have you. Have you ever heard that?
I've
heard people interpret it by saying that. Now, let's transition into your biggest threat to Christianity.
I think the greatest threat to Christianity is Answers in Genesis. Are you familiar with Answers in Genesis?
I am. Now, let me ask you this. Is Answers in Genesis the only organization that is a threat, or you're saying anyone who teaches a narrative that science doesn't support evolution is also a great threat to the church or Christianity?
Well, I think Answers in Genesis is the greatest because when you talk to people who are into this 6,000-year-old earth, I don't know if our listeners know about this, but there's certain Christians that because they look at the Bible and they interpret it and they read it a certain way, that they're saying the Bible is clear cut. It's the earth is no more than 6,000, maybe 7,000 years old. And any scientific study or any reference to it being older than that is contrary to the Bible. And so then they build up this house of cards that basically says, you must not believe in the Bible if you believe in an older earth, or I believe in my Bible over your science, basically. And how it goes is this. They basically set up this house of cards that says the Bible says this, so anything contrary to it must be from the devil. The devil is influencing you or manipulating scientists, society, reality, interpreting it in such a way to where it gives the impression that the Bible is wrong. First of all, I think that's bad.
So you think it's an anti-intellectual?
I just think it's a bad witness. You know, we're called to witness to non-Christians. That's why the Bible calls us to unity. It's not for so that we can have this fellowship and, and you know, have better you know, cookouts and so forth. It has to do with the idea that when a non-Christian comes, they say, I've actually had non-Christians say to me before, why would I listen to what you have to say when you all can't even get along?
Yes, I've heard that a number of times. Yeah.
And that's the idea, is we're supposed to be united, at least in Christianity, to the extent to where not every single facet, but united in such a way that a non-Christian would look at us and say, well, I understand what Christianity is. It's right there. Versus if you were non-Christian right now and looking at Christianity, it's so segmented, you wouldn't even think of it as any.
Okay, so can I challenge one thing?
Mm-hmm.
Are you not breaking the unity with these folks by calling them the greatest threat to Christianity?
Well, see, that's the risk. But what happens is you have this situation where their premise is that the Bible says this, so you got to look at reality from the Bible out. So you look to the Bible to interpret reality versus science, as most people know, was established, set up, started by the Catholic Church. And the reason it was started by the Catholic Church was to say that we're looking at reality to find God. And you say, well, why would you do that? Well, because reality is God. Reality doesn't conflict with God. So the more I study reality, the more I see God. Now, the right way to do it is not to read the Bible and then say, well, what is reality? The right way to do it is to look at reality and then to say, well, what does that teach us about the Bible? Because the Bible is 100% true and accurate. It's 100%. There's nothing that's false in the Bible. However, people's interpretation of the Bible is false. And how do you clarify a better interpretation of the Bible? You look to reality to help you interpret the Bible. Now, what happens with these guys is they do it the opposite. They look at the Bible and then interpret reality. And the problem with that is you build a house of cards. Because then is all you have to do is you have to just show that the reality, their reality is based upon a false premise, and then it's a house of cards. It falls apart because you're not even looking at the Bible or faith or any of those issues. You just have to look at reality. And once you convince a high schooler or a college kid that might be questioning their faith, you say, look, carbon dating shows that the earth is this far old. Your Bible says that it's 6,000 years old. Which are you going to believe, carbon dating or the Bible? That's just a false premise. That's a great risk. And these people that are promulgating this, they don't understand the risk that they're presenting.
So you're saying, let me just get this clear. You're saying that they are creating a risk.
An unnecessary risk.
Of a false dilemma, so that if you don't believe what I'm saying to you,
right,
you have to reject the Bible.
You have to reject the Bible. You know, and they say that. And this is the funny thing about that. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that you can put together a puzzle. Because it doesn't say that the earth is 6,000 years old. It doesn't say the earth is 7,000 years old. It has nowhere in the Bible that it says the age of the earth. It doesn't say 2 million, 2 billion. It doesn't say anything. Nowhere in the Bible, there's no passage in the Bible that says the earth is such and such. How they get this 6,000 is they add up the people's lifespans, such and such begets, such and such begets, such and such. But look, there's nowhere in the Bible that says that you can put together Bible verses like that to come to any conclusion, let alone this. There's nowhere in the Bible that says that the right way to interpret the Bible is to make a puzzle out of the Bible. I mean, you know, hey, let's put these pieces together. And then they don't realize that every single piece of that puzzle is an interpretation. They're interpreting those passages to say certain things.
Let's change it to macroevolution for a second.
Well, okay.
Instead of the age of the earth.
All right.
So what Answers in Genesis is looking at in macroevolution, and they're saying, look, there is no scientific evidence that species evolve from one species to another. And it's impossible. You don't see it anywhere. And in fact, this is the thing that
it's called cross-species evolution.
I don't think there's any scientific proof of that. But
yeah, and actually, I would agree with that. But that's a different way to handle it. I agree with the concept that there is no scientific proof for cross-species evolution. But I'm not saying that that's because it's in the Bible. It's not in the Bible that there's no cross-species
evolution.
Right,
but I don't know that they're saying that. Maybe if they are, I haven't heard that. I think they're looking at science. And then another argument, like, okay, you go to the Smithsonian, the Natural History Museum, and you look at that exhibit that has the monkey turning into the man. And you know the man is bent over, and then, like, after a million years, he's standing up. And you know what? This is the thing that I appreciate about Answers in Genesis, because I went to a public school and I learned biology and all that, just like everyone else. I thought there was all this evidence that supported that theory that man started from an ape and then became a man. And so I just used to think when I was in high school, when I was less informed, I thought, well, I guess I'll just have to reconcile that with the Bible some way. And I recognize these scientists are smarter than everyone else. The more I looked into it, though, the more I found that all those clay exhibits that have the man turning from monkey into Piltdown man into Neanderthal, then finally into what we would be Homo erectus, those are based on like 10 or 12 total fossils.
Yeah, so, and that's fine to deal with it on that. I have no issue with that.
Those are the things I'm thinking of.
Building the Ark in Kentucky and so forth.
No, I don't know anything about that.
It's funny because you would think that if you sat down with these people and you said, look, are you suggesting that if I don't believe in a 6,000-year-old Earth, I'm not Christian? And, you know, some of them have that view because they follow this logic that, well, how can you be Christian if you don't believe in the Bible? Now, as a Catholic, I believe that the Bible is 100% true and accurate. I don't believe that there is any falsity or any deception or anything in the Bible. It's 100% true and accurate. Now, someone's interpretation of the Bible could be 100% false.
Okay, well, let's end on that. So we look forward to you joining us on the next episode of Bloviation.
All right, take care.